sexy, spooky bones.
Hello, and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And
I'm Johnny. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
What's going on?
You know, just kicking it.
Kicking it.
After the holidays.
Yeah.
You know.
Feeling the holiday fatigue yet?
In so many different ways. Mostly, I just need to get back to work. That and I took down my decorations yesterday, and for the first time in my life, I felt sad.
Hmm.
And that has never happened to me before. I don't give a fuck about Christmas or New Year or the New Year.
Yeah.
And I felt sad.
Ah.
I was like, oh, that's weird.
Hmm.
I don't know. Not sure what to say.
All right.
But in other news, finally saw Halloween Ends before we kick into what we're going to do. And I got to tell you, I wasn't a fan.
Okay. What didn't you like about it?
I did like... I feel like they were trying to do what they essentially were doing in Halloween 3, right? Where they wanted to continue on the story, except this time instead of, you know, at the time fucking up and not bringing in Michael Myers, which in retrospect, I think, I don't know. I like Halloween. Like I said, Halloween 3 is one of my favorites. I don't know. The whole time I actually felt myself, I caught myself going like, is Michael Myers really only going to be in this movie for like 10 minutes? Because that's like pretty fucking lame. It's supposed to be like the definitive end. And they did give him some sort of character arc, and then they just kind of decided not to have anything to do with it in the last movie.
Yeah.
I feel like had more questions. Like, why did he decide he needed to stop after killing Laurie Rhodes' daughter?
Because I think he got fucked up. But, well, okay, so let me... I don't disagree with you. And if anybody doesn't like this movie, fine. You didn't like it. But let me propose this. Let me float this idea. You could sail it right back to me if you want. But let me propose this idea. Because it's not a great movie. I don't think it's a great movie in any way. I just enjoyed what they made. And what it means, right? Because how interesting of a movie had this been? Because all the ads, all the whatever has been about, the trailers have been about Michael Myers versus Laurie one last time, right?
Yeah.
So that happens in this movie the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So
which was badass, so I thought.
Let me propose this idea. What if we reorder it and that's the first thing we saw? And then he dies, and you're like, what the fuck? He's dead. What's going to happen? And then you have this, then it plays out exactly how the rest of the movie plays out. That way, it hammers home the idea of evil never really dying, that you kind of, this town is cursed. Bigger ideas about this town being cursed and the people are like, how the people react to it, you know?
Right. I mean, I feel like, but then the way it ended,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was very like poetic, right? Also the way they, like, Michael Myers is almost like a martyr in some sort of respect, like the way they ceremoniously like dispose of him. And then yeah. like, And then the mask just sitting there while she's talking about like evil doesn't go away, it just changes shape, which I thought was also cool because I'm like, yeah, there you go.
The
shape. Bring it back to the shape.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm not taking away from that. That guy's performance was actually really fucking good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let me pitch something else. We remake The Warriors and he's the bad guy. What's his name from like Dreamscape? The Warriors.
Okay.
Forgot that actor's name. He's so good. The cleaner in the John Wick series.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever going to make that connection, but
I think that, I don't know. I really like that whole, that, this town is, like a poison, and this kid, innocent kid, was poisoned by it and had a reaction to it.
With that said, also, why the fuck do people still live there?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel too.
Lori's like, it's been 4 years since my daughter was murdered by Michael Myers, and we just all moved on. You know,
we all moved.
It's been 4 years. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, 4 years is enough time. That's a shit ton of days when you multiply 365 by four. So,
I honestly, like, had they done the fight in the beginning, it would have made more sense. Lori's behavior of moving on and like she becomes like a mom again, or she becomes a mom in the house and she acts kind of goofy. Yeah. To me, it makes more sense. But then, like, I don't know, I kind of feel like the way they did it was like they tacked on like, oh, okay, well, we got to give you this fight because this is what we promised. Right. So this is what the whole series has been about, this whole like trilogy. But I thought this,
which I was going to say, I did like, and I also appreciated that we're going into this fight understanding Michael Myers is not full potential Michael Myers anymore.
Yeah. That he actually
he's lost a lot.
Yeah. He's kind of like mostly defeated. So you kind of make sense that he would pass the mask on or have like a protege or, you know what I mean? He kind of like reiterates that because then you kind of see what an old decrepit man he is now. So it kind of makes sense on why he's doing what he's doing, you know, stuck in the sewer or whatever. So,
I also feel like they decided to, get rid of or sleep on the whole, what I thought was supposed to be the idea of the ending of the first movie where, what is it? The girl's name, the daughter. I mean, I don't know any other names except for Laurie Strode. Her granddaughter in the first movie, it made it seem like she had snapped at the end because she held onto the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something like sort of sinister about her at the very end of the movie. So it made it seem like, oh shit, is she going to be like
a follow-up?
The new Michael Myers.
Yeah. I'd have to revisit that one. I mean, I did see it, but it's not like fresh in my head at all. So.
Well, we're going to watch it anyway when we do our Halloween series.
It's over.
Halloween again.
And it's all over. It's never coming back.
We're going to rewatch all of them now that we know it's definitively done.
It's never coming back. It's done.
Absolutely. Kind of like, hopefully, Jurassic Park. Because if they make any more of these fucking movies, I was just telling you, I saw Dominion. And I was like, what is this load of shit? What?
Oh, yeah. No.
It was so bad.
Yeah, so bad. Alrighty. So that was a fine detour, but let's talk about what we're doing today.
We said we were going to talk about it real quick. Smile.
Oh.
Sosie Bacon.
Oh, yes. Other.
We just completely flew over our heads that is Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon's daughter.
It makes so much more sense now. You could see it in her features. Yeah.
I think, we talked about this, right? It's like you can totally see now that you know the Kevin Bacon and the Kira Sedgwick in her. But if you didn't know that, you wouldn't at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
It'd be like, but even knowing that, I think what we're trying to say is she did a fucking spectacular job.
Right.
Because we thought she was like an up-and-coming, I don't want to say nobody. That's like rude, but like, you know. She was really good.
Yeah. I don't know. I even said the name on the show. That's the thing that haunts me is I said the name and the, I had did the thought cross my mind that, oh, Bacon's kind of a, unusual last name, and then just moved on from that. I thought that's but never putting together the fact that she could be related to somebody wildly famous. So, yeah.
Yep. Kevin Sedgwick.
Kevin Sedgwick. But yeah, so that is that all the housekeeping for the show? Do we have anything else?
No, that's it. We can talk about our stupid, horrible, bad TV show we're watching now.
Okay. And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing The Day of the Beast. John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go into deep spoiler analysis. But we go first to TV Corner. And just as John has alluded, we have started a new show titled Yellow Jackets. So I thought this was a confusing title.
Which, by the way, guys,
title.
Has nothing to do with insects.
Or clothing. Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. So disappointing.
1 out of 10. So.
Yeah. Like, the only good thing about this show, honestly, is everything so far. Other than that, it sucks.
Yeah.
So don't bother watching it unless you like everything about the show, which I do and you do. So
yeah, I don't even know where to begin with the show because other than the fact that it's a show that is most popular, pretty out of the gate, but because it's on Showtime, I think it took a minute for it to like find a following. So it kind of feels like people have been talking about it for like the last 6 months, so yeah, or a year, exactly. Almost a year, you know. So people have been talking about it for like a year plus, and we finally decided to check it out, and we both wildly loved it. So this is just going to be 20-25 minutes of us talking about how much we love this show. So
yeah, what a fucking phenomenal cast also.
Great cast. It's wonderful that the majority of them are, actually all the leads are women, young and old. And it's fun watching the young versions and trying to see who's the older version of who.
God, I could not, every time one was revealed, I was like, I was completely wrong. And then every time another was revealed, I'm like, okay, there's only like a few where it's like, it could be this person. It for sure is this person. I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. To briefly read the pilot description, just to kind of get that out of the way, if anybody doesn't know what this show is about. On the eve of a fateful flight, a championship high school girls soccer team celebrates by betraying one another. And 25 years later, the survivors do their best imitations of well-adjusted people. So, it is... How would you describe it? It is Lord of the Flies meets Lost, I think would probably be the easiest way to, with some spookies, horror stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. Would you also agree in saying, so Ella Purnell, who we've seen in a couple of other movies, like Day of the Dead for one, unfortunately, not Day of the Dead, but what was the shitty one? The
remake? The Zack Snyder?
No. The Zack Snyder, yes.
Dawn of the Dead.
The newest one.
Day of the Dead. They did make a sequel. They did remake
it. No, the newest one. We watched it. We reviewed it as a... The newest one. They're in Vegas.
Oh, what was that called? That was called Something Dead, right? I don't remember.
I'd imagine so. let me see. Army of the Dead.
It was right there. Was she in it?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't remember her.
I think she was like the daughter of Batista. She was like the main.
Oh, no shit.
She was kind of the reason the whole thing happened. Like, everything would have been fine if she didn't decide to go and be an asshole and fuck everything up.
Yeah, I don't remember her. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember.
I think she had black hair in that one, but yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, would you agree in saying she looks like a DreamWorks character that they AI'd to look like a real person?
Yeah. She definitely has embiggened features.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, her eyes are very
buggy. Yeah. Not in a bad way. I'm not trying to insult her. But just like pronounced.
Yeah. Like pretty like a that's why I said like a DreamWorks version of like she kind of looks like something from A Bug's Life. Like, like very very pretty, you know. Very pretty. Like
the grasshoppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The really pretty thing, the thing that ends up having wings at the end.
The ladybug?
The caterpillar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The caterpillar.
I'm a beautiful butterfly.
So yeah, no. And no insulting her.
Anyway, not insulting
her. Yeah,
just commenting.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mentioned it's Lost, but aside from the obvious plane crash and Lord of the Flies allusions, there's also the storytelling mechanics of like each episode is kind of like we're going to the past stuff. They're going to show us the stuff how they survived, and then we're already in the present, and we look at the past and the present and how they contradict and how they line up. I'm assuming we're going to meet a lot of people. A lot of people are dead. It's going to be fun to kind of watch the show and figure out like who's who, who's really who, and their relationships. And they just did a really good job of setting up all of these. And it, like a great pilot should, right? Like it just set up all of these like scenarios and things that could happen and in an interesting way. And I think the show does that perfectly. It's like a really great first episode.
I also like that it's very... I think we're at an age where most of the time the older people's age would reflect our age group, right?
Oh, yeah.
But these are definitely like Gen X people, which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, Christina Ricci is fucking ageless.
True.
I could not get over. I'm like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I know they're all the same age, so I don't understand. How does she still look like she's in her early 30s?
I would argue also Juliette Lewis, too, is basically the same.
A badass?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
She doesn't seem to be aging either.
No, well, she looks a lot different than she did in Christmas Vacation, because her hair was blonde in that movie.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was... And I like that, what's her name? The lead, Melanie
Linsky?
Yeah. She's terrific. She's usually a really great, she tends to play like really great, like supporting character, actor pretty well. But it's nice to have her kind of like in a lead of, the lead of the ensemble.
Yeah, because I think I really liked her and Togetherness.
Yes. Yeah. Which I didn't finish, but I did enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was a really good show. But yeah, no. So A+. A plus all around.
I feel like they've already told us who a lot of these characters are. Are you guessing the same as me in decidedly... which I'm trying not to look at the names. I'm just trying to look at like the actors' names and not look at the bottom without ruining it for me because I don't want to know.
Oh yeah,
I want to assume the punk chick, the one that's kind of an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
is Juliette Lewis. Is my guess?
No, yeah, it is. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
because I don't think that was spelled out yet, and because the whole time I was trying to figure out who the Misty character was. And then when Christina Ricci popped up, I was like, oh, obviously it's supposed to be her because the hair.
The hair and the glasses.
But,
yeah.
But something I thought maybe would be cool, but could not have called was the way the episode ended.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With
Misty is the leader of the Lord of the Flies group.
Yeah, she's like, so far, it looks like she's the ringleader of it. And which is... kind of just composed by the fact that she was kind of like just like a super fan of the girls, the cheerleaders, soccer Wow.
Shit. And, it's been a blast. Skeleton Boys are canceled. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah. And she ends up being the one, I guess, who somehow teaches them how to survive. I'm assuming witchcraft. Is that's where I'm going with this. That's my, like, bold guess, is that there's some witchcrafty shit and Misty's responsible for it. I don't think it's going to be what, so yeah, played and dry. I think there's this suspenseful spookiness to the show.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, because there's like weird hints, like that throwaway scene where she's looking at the rat drowning in the pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like before she gets on the
plane.
She's
a teenager, yeah. She sees the rat drowning or something. So clearly she's like, something's up with her that isn't normal.
And I'm also wondering, so the dudes on the plane are definitely going to get eaten first, is my guess.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. We're just going to have to find out. I don't know what, like, I don't know what to say about this first episode. It was just like very solid, engaging the entire time.
There's all these hints of other stories because, like, they did a really good job with this episode establishing like the dynamics of the girls pre-crash. So we get in a sense of who's who, what the dynamics are, how one is kind of like the bossy one and the other one is like the influencers, what the coach called her, and the other ones are kind of like burnout and kind of passive and pushy. And Misty, you know, Christina Ricci's character seems like just like a super fan, but because of the incident with the rat and the incident with the later when she's older, when she doesn't give the morphine to the old lady, that she doesn't really care for, you know, people, yeah, or humanity or creatures, you know, she has like an indifference to them. So
she's not the mascot, is she?
No, but she's like the equipment managers, right? Like, is that the easiest way to describe that?
I was trying to figure that out. Yeah, yeah. I was,
she's,
yeah, I guess so. Assistant coach.
Sure, yeah. It was a little hard to, it was a little hard to see. She just was around and she seemed like she helped out with the girls with anything, I guess, right? Like, I don't know. They haven't really, yeah, spelled out what her thing is on the show yet. Yeah, it is. So,
yeah, interesting. Yeah, I do like, I'm hoping we get more of, Linsky's teen character is clearly in love with the influencer bossy
Jackie,
rich girl,
her friend,
right?
Yeah,
Jackie,
clearly,
Ella,
yeah,
Purnell.
I like the reveal of her, Shauna, how we make certain assumptions because of the actress and her home life, how it's a little sad, but then, yeah, they completely turn that on their head when you see that she's like the best friend in love with her friend, but in fact, she's like the opposite, right? She's steals her boyfriend, probably because she's obsessed with her friend, steals her boyfriend, yeah, gets pregnant, ends up marrying him, and they have one child, and they're kind of just like, she has a prison of a life. She's not really, she, you allude to the fact that she doesn't seem very happy with her choices.
That seems like pretty, that's my assumption as well, but I don't think it's entirely been spelled out that that's the same guy. I just assumed the same thing though.
No, they have a shot of them in their younger, their teen character versions. Jeff and her are cutting a cake, like they got married, to assume that that night.
Oh,
when they, like, you know,
had, I probably just missed it. I know what you're talking about. I just didn't see that it was Jeff. I just didn't make that connection.
Mm-hmm. So it is Jeff. I'm pretty sure about that. It is Jeff, and that she probably got pregnant, they got married, and then they probably, right, she clearly is somebody who, it's painted as if she's had like a bright future, right? Like she's got accepted into Brown. She's at, you know, seems very smart. She's asking questions on Jeopardy. She seems frustrated that people are getting it wrong. So she's kind of like stuck in this house, you know, so.
Which I'm trying to, I feel like that's a little too clean cut. That's why I'm assuming that there's something, if you're saying it's Jeff, then I mean, I just missed that. It's just like for her to get pregnant that first time, I'm wondering how the rest of this is going to play out when they're doing their Lord of the Flies thing.
Well, they alluded to the fact that, good point. Yeah, I didn't realize that. But that wasn't the first time they've done it. That they had done it before they had pulled over to the side to kind of have sex. They allude to
it's called whoopee. Thank you.
Making whoopee. They allude to the fact that this is like not the first time. Just like, oh, we can't do this anymore. He says something like that, and then they do it anyways. So
speaking of it, I like that the beginning scene where he's like clearly just aggressively rubbing her vagina as opposed to doing anything good.
Yeah.
she has to fake it. Where she was like, clearly it hurts her. And she's like, you know, maybe we can do something else. And he's like, no, I want you to. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The show's really good. I'm also trying to figure out what happened to the religious girl.
Yeah, that's a question mark. They didn't really... So at the beginning of the show, we see that they kill a dark-haired girl. And then they, like... starts with the dark-haired girl running, and she's bleeding. And then she falls into a trap and dies. And then they do, like, a ritual-type deal where they cut her throat, and then they cook her.
Well, they like what is it called, not bloodletting, it's what they do to like pigs and stuff before they cook them.
Oh yeah, yeah,
to drain all the blood out. Yeah, gross. I mean, that was pretty cool though.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, the religious girl broke her leg, I guess, right? Was that the same girl?
No, that was somebody else, I believe. The religious girl, I thought, made it to the plane. Somebody else who we haven't met, an older version of, is, I don't know, she was out, so she didn't go. So I'm assuming that she didn't make it on the plane.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time. So unfortunately, there's a lot of blonde white girls on this show. So I had a hard time like really like pinpointing who's supposed to be who.
Right. So I'm assuming the religious girl wasn't the one, because she ends up at the party where they all get into an argument. And
That's right.
But it's just another blonde girl. Yeah.
So, yeah. The girl that like was not that good. Or up to their standards.
Right, yeah.
I do like how much they point out like the chauvinistic nature of the 90s. Like, even though they're like the reigning champs and they're fucking dominating.
Yeah.
They're on the marquees everywhere. It's like, we'll get him next time, boys. And it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we are... have been subject to that coming from the area of Texas we're from.
No, yeah, totally. There's always... When it comes to women's sports in general, that's all biased. There's a lot of bias. Like the freaking just, not to go off topic, but just like the women's, what is it? The women's soccer team, the national women's soccer team sued and made it all the way to Supreme Court so they can get equal pay, which now they do to the men, you know, and the women have dominated world soccer for at least 20 years plus. So they've dominated and they've won everything, yet they made the least amount of money and got the least amount of prize money. The men made more, and the best they've ever done is get to eighth, get into the last eight teams of the World Cup in 2021 or 2020.
Yep.
20 something. And I think we should also, you know, so there's something to that, right? That people just haven't women's sport is not as popular to mainstream wise. So there's a little bit of that.
Nobody puts money into advertising it. Nobody wants to.
Right.
Because all these companies are still being run by Andrew Tate's.
Yeah, Andrew Tate.
Which, did you see? One more thing, and then I think we should jump off this, but one more thing. Andrew Tate allegedly, or not allegedly, he dropped a music video and a song. And if you ever get a chance to hear it, it's fucking awful. It's like embarrassingly bad. Not even like you could like not listen to what he's singing about and not, you know, just not care and not know it's Andrew Tate and think like, this is trash. What is this? This is horrible. It sounds like somebody making fun of these people. Like somebody made a song to parody something, but no, it's an actual real song that he wrote. And Rebecca Black, of all people, of Friday fame, Friday, blah, 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 blah. She posted, I was 13 at the time. This man is 36. What's his excuse? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
He's getting owned so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's...
Not that he knows he's in jail. Who gives a fuck, but yeah.
Getting buried every day. Other quick note is Karen Kusama directed it, who did Jennifer, oh, yeah. Jennifer's Body and Skeleton Boy Favorite, The Invitation. Was it The Invitation? With that actor?
I want to say yes.
Who,
yeah, The Invitation.
The Invitation, yes.
Something Green. Oh my God, I wish I had fucking Logan sure. Dallas Green.
You're close, yeah. I think you're close. That sounds right.
Look at Marshall.
Close, yeah. Fine. You're close. So.
And I swear, if we don't get a long lost, like a Twins parody or something where him and, oh my God, what the fuck's his name? I'm forgetting his doppelganger's name now. Venom. Tom Hardy. If Tom Hardy, Logan, Marshall Green don't end up in a movie where they play brothers, wasted opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So we're super fans, and we'll continue to gush about the show and guess what might happen next.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. Well. Oh, did you know Ashley Lyle, one of the writers, is the writers of Narcos?
Oh.
Like both series, like the Narcos Mexico and Narcos Original?
Mm-hmm. I never saw Narcos. That was when I was in my sabbatical from... movies and TV.
Oh yeah, it was pretty good. It was good.
I heard that. Yeah.
And then the other guy, Bart Nickerson, also wrote it. So I guess they wrote these things together.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. All right. Let's move over to our main review of The Day of the Beast. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4. Oh, shit, I lost it. 4. 1995's The Day of the Beast, directed by Alex de Iglesias. Coming in at number 3, middle-aged men's midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2, satanic chant breeds new bromance.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1, 3 men and a baby.
That is sad. Sad to just kind of think about it. That was a good one. Very good, very good.
You know, for once, what did you think of this film?
So, Alex de Iglesias is an interesting filmmaker. I've seen a couple of his things previous to this, 800 Bolas, that came out in the early 2000s, which is a fan-fucking-tastic movie. Super funny. And I followed his career he's never really like broken through in the United States. He's mainly stayed in, you know, Spain, Italy, Europe. And For The Day of the Beast, this is
You know what though? He did do the Oxford movies.
He did do, which is okay. It's okay. Like, it's not like rush out and go watch it. He made that sort of after 800 Bolas. Yeah.
Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carter. Not to be confused with Jimmy Carter.
So, yeah, no, I mean, he makes wild movies that you can't really classify into one genre. You know, it's like a little bit of comedy, a little bit of horror, and they're all just sort of mixed together. He makes these really big movies. It's kind of like he would be, to describe him, the thought that came to my mind was like he would be he's kind of what Seth Rogen inspires to as a writer, if that makes any sense. Because I to me, this movie had vibes of like, This Is the End, or like, I don't know. It's something along those lines, right?
I was going to say, it felt a little more, I think I was trying to kind of warn you about how it's kind of dated in the way it's written. It's very, like I said, it feels kind of like a play, and then it occurred to me, this kind of feels, to me personally, like Neil Simon tried to write a horror movie.
Yeah, because it's predicated on this premise, right? That for a priest to stop the apocalypse, decides to do evil things to lure the devil so he can kill him,
it's so silly,
insane premise, which is exactly in this guy's wheelhouse. He makes movies like this, right? Like, it's kind of, there's tons of comedy beats in this, and there's a lot of like skewering of society and like TV and people, and you know, it's like, it's very broad characters, you know.
Would you say like which I 100% believe all these guys are capable of this stuff, but there were moments aside from the metalhead guy where these guys played it like too serious. I can't say dry. They just played the character too genuine. So sometimes I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a joke or not until like after the fact.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I kind of feel like the movie is definitely leaning into its like absurdity of the premise. You know what I mean?
Right.
In spite of these guys, you know, performances, like it's definitely like absurd. There's an absurd premise, absurd, but it's so grounded, like you said, by like these guys. What, like, they're so grounded into what's happening into the story. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, I mean, that, and also, this would be getting into spoilers, so I'm not going to say too much about it, but there's like a moment that happens, not like, I don't know, the beginning of the third act, I guess, where there's a reveal, and then I'm like, okay, now the movie's allowing itself to be silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it somehow got more serious. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like for the character to face the devil and try to kill him so it can stop the Antichrist to rise, it kind of like, it needed to go to like dark places, like really like dark side of a darker side of our society and people behaviors. You know, that makes sense without getting into like the whole spiel, what happens at the end. But, and I like that. I love his movies. I think they're interesting. Like, he's just one of those filmmakers, man. It's just like, he's doing stuff that is just would work on a mainstream audience. You know, I'm surprised that, and it's shocking that he just has never crossed over, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a very interesting movie.
There's also a character that I just assumed was going to be the devil, and I feel fucking awful. But it's just because this, I'm not even going to mention who it is, but this character, just this actor, has a very unique head shape.
Okay.
So I just assumed at that person, because it kind of reminded me of Army of Darkness when Ash like gets his like face sucked into the book and then he comes out looking different.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just assumed that person was going to be the devil.
No, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm assuming you did too.
I did like it, yeah. I don't know if I can watch it again. I did like it.
Yeah.
It's I thought the ending was great. there is a moment where I think budget constraints had me a little confused.
Yeah, yeah. No, I gotcha.
I don't know if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's like a child at one point that's very important to this movie, and I could not tell if I was supposed to believe this rubber doll was a baby or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Really, I thought it was an entertaining movie, really fun. I'm surprised
the tattoos on the guy were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just an insane premise here. And I think they like fully explored it very well. I mean, I don't really think I have, if I had to really like critique it, I think it's not a horror movie, right? Not in a traditional sense. It's
no,
not in an obvious way, right? You wouldn't market it this as a horror movie. You'd probably be somewhere in the middle. That kind of makes sense. Like, it's about things horror movies are made about, but it doesn't lean itself into those tropes, you know.
I think only because like a good chunk of the movie is you really deciding whether or not the priest is mentally capable. Because I think a good portion of this movie is just deciding whether this guy is actually a priest or if he's somebody that's just like lost it. Because you don't really get a definitive answer until like later.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. As far as the character, I thought he was convinced that he needed to do these evil things, which were...
Oh, for sure, yeah. But that's what I'm saying, like, that's what made me question whether or not he was actually sane.
True. You
know?
Yeah.
Or if he was, like, doing these horrific acts, like, at one point, like, I don't know what, somebody gets kidnapped, basically tortured, and it's like, you know, I was wondering if that's where the movie was going. I was like, oh, is this where like the horror aspect comes in? He's just like, you know, the metalhead guy is just going to assume he's doing everything right anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. It does get increasingly darker, his behavior, including his record store owner friend, which,
yeah,
you know, and the guy who ends up being like, what's his name, Kavan, he ended up being like pretty empathetic and he starts off like as a self-centered prick, you know, celebrity prick, but he ends up being pretty decent guy by the end.
Well, I think because he that's like venturing into spoilers, but because he was forced to witness something that he was not expecting.
Right. Yeah. No.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we were dancing around what the premise of this movie was and we didn't really explain it. Okay. So a priest is convinced that the apocalypse is happening. I think at the beginning of the movie, he's got 48 hours, right?
Yeah, before Christmas Eve, before Christmas Day, right?
Which I kept thinking, oh yeah, I had mentioned this could have been a Christmas movie. We just didn't know.
yeah, it could have been.
And he's trying to look for basically everything he studied has made him conclude that Madrid is where the Antichrist is going to be born. And he's looking for basically any signs, which in the grand scheme of things, this guy got so fucking lucky that he picked all the right avenues to figure this out. But then I'm also wondering if it would have happened either way, because the way things churn out, I'll put a pin in that and we'll get back to that.
Cool.
But, yeah, he goes to a record store cause he's basically just trying to figure anything out, right? So he's like, oh, satanic music, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to this record shop. I'm going to talk to this metalhead dude and like, oh, he's a Satanist. Perfect. This is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
That's why it made me think, like, no, this guy's just like, he's just a little off. Like, he needs help. Like, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's, because it's so out of his character to, quote unquote, let's just, I would describe it like break bad, you know? Like, it's so out of his character, he doesn't know where to begin, you know? Because he's given this, like, life, world-changing information. He figures out that the Antichrist is going to be born or whatever. And so it's like his, he kind of has this insane idea of, you know, doing all of these terrible things to meet the Antichrist devil and and kill him. So it's kind of like, and so it's funny when he did the very first scene of this movie, he gets to Madrid and somebody gets in a car wreck, and he, since he's dressed as a priest, they pull him over and he says, basically to give this guy who's dying in a car last rites. He leans over and tells him, well, first he steals his wallet, and then he leans over and says, I hope you rot in hell. Then he walks away, which is so great.
I think my favorite one, like really showcasing how bad he is at this, is the Kavan character, who is basically like a, fuck, what was the name? Like very famous Mexican fortune teller on TV all the time.
This I know you're talking about.
Forgot his name.
Yeah,
a very feminine looking appearance.
Yes,
right.
Gave off that.
God, he's like, yeah, brilliant. Like R.I.P. that guy. But he is like, oh well, he decides he needs to figure out where he's at, or he needs to read his book. So like, there's this like weird. Like, what is it? It's like a little, it's a starter kit with like his book, a talisman or something.
Yeah.
Whatever, like this huge kit.
Yeah.
And he goes and he like just rips out the book and takes the talisman, and like he's like walking away, and like the cashier's right there, and she's like, you need to pay for that. He's like, pay for what?
Yeah. No, that was super funny. Cool. Do you want to just get into spoilers? You can walk me through the ending of what you saw here.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. So, this is where the twist happens, because they kidnap Kavan, and they torture the shit out of this guy, and this guy is like basically like, you know, it's all a ruse, whatever. Like, I'm just doing this shit, like, for money or whatever. And the priest is like...
The television guy, Kavan, right? Is what you're talking about.
Yeah, Kavan, yeah. And the priest is like, not taking no for an answer. And is, like, torturing him. So he gives him answers.
Right.
And he's like, fine, you need to do this and this and this and this. So he starts following the ritual. And then at one point is like... And then you need like the blood of a woman, and incidentally, like Kavan's wife or girlfriend or something is coming up, and he's about to like kill her for her blood, and he's like, no, obviously you need a virgin. So they do that whole spiel, and it's like the whole time you're understanding that Kavan is doing whatever he can to like. Just stall so he can figure out how to get out of that situation and go get help.
Right.
He finally gets the blood from a virgin, and the fucking devil appears, which I thought was hilarious. He's like a big goat guy.
Yeah.
He walks up and he basically says, "You think this is a fucking game?" He like walks out.
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah. That shit was funny. I mean, ultimately, after that, that's when Kavan's like, no, I need to, like, fucking save the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I guess that's where things get a little more serious. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't understand. They find Kavan's the person that figures out exactly where the child's going to be born. I guess the child is born.
Maybe.
And, the parents and the child are underneath cardboard, so you never see what they look like.
Yeah.
I don't understand that part.
So I think they were just like living there, and that group of racists, I guess? Like
Satanists?
Satanists? like, I chalk them up more to like prejudiced racist people because they murdered that bum guy earlier. The priest saw him, so they appeared later.
Because one of them ended up being Satan in disguise, I guess.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so the movie gets wild, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't see him with the naked eye, but he presents himself to these guys, right?
Right.
Otherwise, it looks like a normal another dude. I just don't understand. If I recall correctly, those were the same guys that shot and killed the people underneath the cardboard
they did.
With the baby.
I believe they did. Yeah, my so yes is yes.
I don't understand why that happened.
Because they had done it previously, and let's see. I was kind of hoping you'd walk me through this because I don't recall.
That's where I'm like completely confused, right? Because the very end of it is the priest and Kavan, because their metalhead unfortunately gets killed by Satan,
mm-hmm.
but in a pretty cool fashion. Dude is like laughing at his face.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's basically stalling so the priest can get away.
Right.
And then the Satan drops him off like a skyscraper. But yeah, like these guys, the racist guys set Kavan on fire. Kavan ends up living.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's basically saying like, nobody's going to know what we did, but we saved the world. It's so frustrating. And I'm like, did you?
Supposedly, yeah. I mean, the demon creature didn't take over, the devil.
Yeah, because the baby died, right? Like the baby was dead. The
baby, it's kind of insinuated the baby was like the Antichrist, vessel for the Antichrist. So they prevented it.
Yeah, but being shot by
the racist people, not the priest. Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Which one of the racist people, if I don't recall correctly, was the guy that was actually Satan in disguise.
Right, yeah.
So I didn't understand any of that part.
Yeah, I think...
And also the baby was so rubber, that's the part I couldn't tell if like, what, am I supposed to believe that's a real baby? And then it took me like 5 minutes to be like, it was supposed to be
real. It was supposed to be a real baby, yeah. No, it was a little much. A lot of stuff was happening at the end. That it was a little, I kind of felt like a couple of ideas, like it was stitched together, the ending. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
plot wise.
I was also going to suggest maybe that's also the joke. Like they went through all that, but like it didn't matter. None of that mattered. Like it wasn't going to happen either way.
Yeah, it seemed like instead of the priest killing the Antichrist, which he would have killed the baby, these people did it for him, which stopped the Antichrist from coming. And in essence, our two protagonists didn't cross that line to where they're finally like bad, right? Like they're guys that killed the baby.
Yeah.
So I think that they leave it kind of open-ended. So yeah, so when Kavan says at the end, you know, after, I don't know, a couple months, He says that what you said, that like, oh, we saved the world and nobody's going to know and stuff like that. So that's the part that was a little like confusing, because they set it up as to the priest was supposed to do it, but he ended up not doing it. These other guys did. But in essence, they stopped the world from ending, which they were they instigated it. Right. But they didn't like do the actual deed of it.
Yeah, which again, I'm trying to figure out, like, it almost seems like Satan killed this kid on purpose.
Yeah. No, that's also true, yeah.
That's why I'm wondering if the whole joke was on him the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is probably thinking too much into it, but maybe Satan was fucking with this priest the entire time.
Maybe. Maybe, because...
You know, saying God exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, that's also
dude
true.
Dude is like, no, you know, homeless person, nobody believes in.
Because I know my, if we're following the logic of Constantine, that the devil took his son who tried to escape, create hell on earth.
Yeah.
And he brought him back down to hell once he found out what his plot was. So it's kind of this. Maybe Satan. I don't know enough about like Revelations to know, like, was Satan okay with his son doing all this, or like, you know, maybe he was not okay with it because he didn't want to share his power, brought him down. I don't know. I'm over thinking it too now, but it's, I don't know enough about it.
Well, I can tell you how it ends in Revelations. God comes down and breaks the Antichrist's head open with a rock, and that's how he dies. And that's what happens in the Bible. That's basically the end of it.
Oh, right on. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make it like. The ending I still thought was funny, but it was just like, at that point, I was like, things are really happening, and I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of a mess. I agree. Yeah. Cool. Do you want to go into our ratings?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give The Day of the Beast 6.666.
Oh, damn. Just trying to cause problems.
I want a goat person to show up and tell me that you think this is a game.
You think this is a game? Yeah, I'm going to do 5 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
All right.
That's more of where I was going, but yeah, I want to do 666.
So this was an absolute jam-packed, stuffed show. You got a free review of Halloween Ends. Yellow Jackets.
You're welcome.
The Day of the Beast. And a little bit of it, a little bit on Jurassic Park. So, got a lot of cool stuff.
You're super welcome for that.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Thank you, John, for taking the bullet on that. Watching it so nobody else has to.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about watching a movie where they introduce other characters and you're like, who's this again? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Who gives a fuck?
Not all heroes wear capes, John. So, thank you for your service. I'm saluting you, like military.
Tune in next week when I review Black Adam.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Yeah.